Today on the Cooligans, we are talking some USMNT chat. We look forward to what players might make a big surprise in the World Cup next year and some players that we're a little bit worried about.
Also, we talked to a player we're not worried about. Jaden Nelson, absolutely incredible, plays with the Vancouver Whitecaps, has a new teammate. It's a pretty big deal. You might have heard about him. We're going to talk to him. And then, of course, we do a little Rápido reactions and you get to hear, Christian pretend to be an Arsenal fan for a moment and really argue about refs and why nobody's talking about it. That and more today on the Cooligans. So obviously I came back from my travels in Italy. Are you one of these people? Or do you like, my wife is like, oh, why don't we get a gift for our niece and our nephew? And this will be nice for my mother. Oh, this will be nice for my mother. And I'm like, what do you even have the space in your luggage for all of this?
I'm not that person.
Yeah.
Bringing back a gift. I am.
I don't even want to have to see all these people when I get back.
Sure. Yeah. There. You. Your circle is tight. There's not many people.
Also, let me be honest with you. If one of my family members, I said I got a gift for you, I feel like their first thought would be like, am I dying? You know what I mean? Like, what do you know that I don't know? Why are you getting me? My wife was like, oh, get this. There's a notebook. There's like a, you ever see like, you know, marble notebooks, the ones we use? Sure. What that came from was this technique ancient in Florence where they would dip it in like fat with dye in it. And it would make it look like it was marble, like the walls, like the paper. It's very nice. We went to a place that shows you how to do it. And my wife was like, you should get this for your mother. And I'm like, she would know this was from you. There's nothing about this that would say Alexis thought of me in this moment. You know what I mean?
That's fair. My issue is like when I travel, I want to be that kind of person. That's like, let's get something for so-and-so. My only issue is that I'm very like, a lot of the stuff whenever you travel anywhere is like crap. It's just garbage. It's trinkets.
Oh, but because you go to tchotchke spots.
I don't go to tchotchke. I'm just saying almost anywhere you will go, anything you will bring back is not something that person couldn't get on their own wherever they live. That's like,
I feel like maybe if you looked a little harder, you'd find.
But then, then if I'm working really hard to find gifts,
and I don't even have a gift anymore,
then what's the point, right?
So, but it's all of that. Oh, they thought of me. That's all you want.
Which is,
and also, like, I don't need you to know. I could text you. You know, the world's different now.
Yeah, that's right. The first time I felt that, I think maybe this is a thing with where we are with consumerism in the US, where everything is so easy to get, like fairly things that are like fairly like luxury items that would have been luxury items 20 years ago are now like, Amazon got it. Yeah. I just order it. But the first time I really felt that was when I went to Dubai. But before I went to Dubai, I was like, oh man, this is like a really cool. This was like in 2006 or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, let me get like cool stuff. I'll bring back to my family, my mom, she will love it. And then I'm there and I'm like going through the places to like buy stuff. And it's made in China this and made in Taiwan that. And I'm like, this is nothing. There's nothing here that is so significant and will emotionally connect me to where I'm at that I have to bring back home. So I came back with nothing.
Right. And that's the thing. I feel like I'd rather have nothing. And maybe I text you or I send you a funny picture of something I see. That to me is a bit more meaningful.
Tell me a story.
Yeah.
Tell me a story about this.
Well, I'm going to switch it up.
You traveled. Oh, no. You actually did bring a gift.
Yeah. I actually brought a gift. This is for you, buddy.
Look at this. A football set from Fiorentina.
Open it up.
All right. Was it like playing cards?
Just open it up. Stop looking at the back, man. Jesus
I'm opening
Christ.
It. The bottom is...
You're one of these people that shakes a gift first.
I literally was opening
Ridiculous.
It from the bottom.
Don't. Not from the bottom. That's, hey, just to let you know how he handles it.
It's a Fiorentina full kit in my size.
Yeah, honestly, I think it'll work.
Thank you so much. Obviously, this is for Mateo.
For Mateo.
This is adorable.
Okay. Look, it's 6 years. That's why I didn't want you to look at the back. Because I don't know how fast kid grows. Now, I know your kid's not six.
Right.
But I feel like your kid will fit into this in like less than a year.
It might be about 4 years.
Yeah, okay. I know he's two.
But this is like a fairly common issue with football kids because they don't make them very tight. They make like onesies.
Yeah.
You could get a Fiorentino onesie. But yeah, in a couple of years, my family does the.
But I got him the shorts too, because I figured, you know what? The kids will full get wet.
The shorts, I think he fits it now, bro. The shorts, I think, are good.
It's also a European kid versus a Dominican kid. You know what I mean?
So thank you so much. I know Mateo will appreciate it very much.
Yeah. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, God. Did you get pen on it already? You with these open unclick pens. The guy loves to have. You could see the panic on my eye whenever I sit next to him in an interview. The kid loves an unclicked pen.
It's called OCD, folks. Alexis should go get that.
Oh, I'm the one. You can't put down the pen for an interview?
The shirt is fine. The pen, I write things down.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, well, thank you very much,
Alexis. I hope you enjoy it. Look at that. Who thought of who?
Okay. So I ain't got nothing for his niece.
No, I ended up having to buy something for everybody.
Mateo gets all the gifts.
I even text my nephew. I'm like, do you even want anything? He's like, sure. I'm like, you could have said no. Would have been so much easier.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're out here celebrating our 10-year anniversary on.
Wow, looks like one of us got a 10-year anniversary gift and the other one didn't. It was real.
Is that really? What the gift was?
Well, I could the shorts for the 10-year anniversary gift. The shirt was for Mateo.
Okay. I mean, my gift to you is
where's your bag, dude?
Is putting captions on the video of the 10-year anniversary message. So you're welcome. Cool. Okay.
Well, it looks like AI is gonna steal your job as well.
Hot show today. Because we're going to be joined a little bit later.
My gift would have been you not saying that, actually. Not saying, hot show, or I'm excited about today's episode.
I can't show any enthusiasm. Alexis is anti-enthusiasm.
It's a bit repetitive.
Sure. And this guy talks about pizza every waking
moment. When was the last time I mentioned pizza on the show?
Get repetitive. Your life is repetitive. Anyway, we're going to be joined a little bit later by winger for the Vancouver Whitecaps, the one and only Jaden Nelson.
What's
He is also a Canadian international. Has a couple caps under his belt.
We root for the U.S. of the show.
for the Maple Leafs. So we're going to talk to him a little bit because obviously he has a very high-profile teammate that just joined the squad. So we'll talk to him all about that. Let's start today with some USMNT.
Look, the World Cup is around the corner, obviously, right? Look, it's a little too soon, but maybe we should talk about the next rising star for the men's national team. Underrated. Maybe people aren't really talking about it. It's a big topic that we should at least cover, which is why it's today's top topic.
Let's go.
This is the top topic.
All right.
So when you're thinking about it, probably someone who, you know, we should also probably talk about maybe some players that are making us a little nervous might not make the squad. Sure. We'll talk about that in a second. But for first, maybe it's someone who showed up during the Gold Cup in a bigger way than you expected, or maybe you think in the next few months in their club form will prove that they need to be in this squad. Is there a name that kind of pops to mind?
I mean, look, the first name, especially now where there's going to be a lot of expectations and the players are in a different, this year leading into the World Cup, the players are in a different situations in their own like club careers. So, mm-hmm. So Malik Tillman is, I think, the one where he's probably fighting for a starting spot in this World Cup squad. Because I think
some would say he maybe has one already.
Possibly. I think the last couple years, we were thinking, you know, MMA, right? Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and Tyler Adams. That's what a midfield. Lock that yeah. seems like that would be the one leading into the World Cup. So maybe 2-3 years ago, that's kind of how we felt that we had that strong midfield. And now, especially with Yunus Musah, where he is in his club career, with even Weston McKennie, just like not being played in multiple positions. I still think he's probably starting.
Yeah, to
in
me,
the
he's
World
a
Cup.
Lockdown starter. But yeah,
but even though because there's like a little bit of shakiness with those players' individual club careers, I'm like, all right, I think this is an opportunity for Malik Tillman, who is now, he is the 10 at Bayer Leverkusen. There is going to be a huge responsibility, especially mm-hmm. after, he's going to be playing under Erik ten Hag after Xabi Alonso leaves, who was nothing but incredibly successful with having the invincible year. So I think there's going to be a lot asked of him. And that in turn will lead to that, you know, a bigger responsibility with the U.S. men's national team.
I can see that. And based on the way he played in the Gold Cup, I'm excited to see him get more minutes with the U.S. men's national team. So if that's in the World Cup, so be it. For me, I'd probably say I'm thinking about it a little differently than you are. For me, it's like, who's someone that is underrated but is bubbling to the top that maybe doesn't get all the way to the starting squad, but at least gets himself in the World Cup and deserves to be there? And for me, I'm going to say Diego Luna is doing that, mainly because of how well he played during the Gold Cup. But there's also a sense, and then tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, there's a sense that there's a connection between him and the manager. The manager, seemingly, Mauricio Pochettino, seemingly trusts that at the very least, he's going to give it his all. And I've heard this so many times from managers and from coaches and from trainers that say, like, I want my player to at least try something. Be brave. Go out there and show me that you're not just going to make the safe pass, that you're going to try to maybe break a couple lines with the pass, or you're going to take on a defender. You're going to run into that space. You're going to ask to sort of grab the quote unquote bull by the horns, if you will, to say, like, no, I want to be impactful in this match. I'm going to do something outside of the norm. Mauricio Pochettino, throughout his entire management career, comes across to me as someone who wants one or two of his players to be those types of players that'll say, like, I know that in this moment, the tactics call for us to do X, but there's an opening here and I'm going to try to take it. And it's for the betterment of the team, not for self-serving purposes. Diego Luna came across to me as someone who was willing to do that. And whether it's making a run or tracking back a bit more aggressively, or, you know, someone who we kept saying had that dog in him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he was a dog and he was willing to fight and he was willing to give it all and he was broke his nose, you know what I mean? He's willing to do whatever it takes. He seems like someone that I think Mauricio Pochettino trusts. So for me, I think he's underrated in the sense that he didn't make that big move to Europe that I think some of us thought was happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, I'm a little bit worried about Diego Luna to the degree of that game against Mexico was really poor. It was really bad. And it's just like that.
He wasn't the only one.
He wasn't the only one, but he leading up to to that final, all the matches, he was impactful. He was there. He showed that heart. I understood why Pochettino trusted him. But what if we are in a group with Netherlands and
he's probably not getting in there. Yeah.
But it's like that's the thing that you don't want to see of a player being disappearing. And not being impactful because the level is just so much significantly higher. Diego Luna is a player I think he should leave MLS. Like
he's clearly above this level now.
Yeah. And not because MLS is just so like beneath him.
No.
But it is to put him in a situation where the level is so much, it's just significantly higher. I always think about, we ask the question to a lot of players about like, what are the differences in the leagues? But Jimmy Conrad always says like the main difference is everybody just does everything so much incredibly faster and it's so much more accurate.
And they just don't make mistakes.
They don't make mistakes. They just make, if you can make one or two mistakes in MLS, like you could only make one or 0.5 mistakes in Premier League or whatever. He just needs to get to a place where when he is on that stage playing in a final against Mexico, that he is not looking a little bit lost. Yeah,
I don't disagree with you, but I think there's enough time for him to show that. And also, I think he's a end of the bench type guy, but going to be really essential in training because he's not gonna give up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, though, that is the player that maybe is a little underrated and will find a way. There's value to him being in the squad for the World Cup. I completely agree with you. It's not the guy you're starting against, you know, Germany. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like you would hope that there isn't with anybody on the roster, whether they're starter or on the bench, that you would say like, hey, I can start him against Germany.
Yeah, but then you need some guys that are like, we bring this guy, he's going to be a change of pace.
Yeah, I just it's I hate that that's my last impression for the on the national team for him.
What are you going to do?
He did it. I got that's why I have this platform. That's why I use it. Okay,
yeah.
I don't write all those tweets and do those long 10-minute TikTok videos talking about how much I hate Diego Luna because I don't hate Diego Luna. It's because I hate Diego Luna.
You hate Diego Luna, and you know,
hey,
it's a real
nobody clip that out of context. Don't you dare.
Yeah. Carter, clip that out of context, please. let's talk about players worried about. Is there a player that comes to mind that you might be?
Yes, this player, when we were talking about this segment in pre-production, I'm like, hey, this is a player I'm excited about, and he's going to have a bright future, and I think he could possibly make the World Cup squad. And now I have to, I literally, like a few minutes after we were done on the call, I'm like, oh, I got to move him to my player I'm worried about, Paxton Aaronson.
He coming back home, bro.
He coming back to Colorado. He's going to Colorado. Paxton Aaronson scored for Eintracht Frankfurt in the DFB Pokal the other day. And then news is like, and then his reward is to come back to America.
You going home, bro.
So you have to wonder, you know, he played in Holland at Utrecht. And he was great. He scored a bunch of goals. He showed a lot more poise and confidence.
He was climbing up the ladder, so to speak. Like, I'm wondering why he's jumping off the ladder.
Sure. And I had seen, did we speak to somebody from Eintracht Frankfurt? I don't know if it was Axel when he was here. I think we might have talked about him because he was on. We asked him. I think we asked him or somebody Eintracht related, but they were just, he was talking about how excited he is about Paxton and seeing his improvement playing for Utrecht, and that hopefully he'll come back and be able to contribute something to the team. And Carter, can you check? It's not a loan, right? It is a transfer.
No, it is a permanent move.
Yeah, so this screams to me that he wants minutes, and he probably wasn't promised many at Eintracht Frankfurt. And he wants to make the World Cup squad, so he's going to just go somewhere where he's going to play a lot.
So here's why I'm also a little worried about him, even though he's not the player I picked.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick another player, but I kind of agree with you. But I don't know if coming back and getting minutes is going to get you an opportunity on the World Cup. I mean, maybe he had a conversation with Pochettino. Maybe. I don't know. I know I've spoken to Charlie about this in the past, and he's like, you don't do that. You're
Charlie Davies.
Charlie Davies.
People may not know is on first name basis.
Charlie Smith. Charlie, you guys know him?
My butcher
yeah,
Charlie.
He owns a bodega down the block. He doesn't know shit about soccer, but he told me specifically. No, Charlie Davies said, like, you don't go to your manager and say, I'm thinking of doing this. And I'm like, that seems odd because it seems like you would go to your national team manager and go, hey, just so you know, I'm thinking of making this move. Like, what are your thoughts?
Paxton, has he played under Pochettino?
No, but he's in the.
Yeah. He's in like
he's the in the conversation of players. So it just seems to me odd that you wouldn't do that. But maybe there's some type of confidence that says, like, if I go back, it'll afford me so many more opportunities to impress than fighting for a spot. Or maybe it's the law has been laid, like, if you're not playing, you're guaranteed not to go. I don't care what level you're not playing. You know, you could be on PSG. If you're not playing, you're not getting on this. Exactly. But, you know, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's like the only place he can guarantee himself starting minutes. And in which case, maybe I understand that move, but I'm a little worried that that's not the case. So I picked a different player. I picked Jack McGlynn for this because another player who I thought had moments where he impressed, again, not a lot, not as much as Diego Luna, but there are moments where I'm like, oh, this guy offers you something different. I want him to make a move. But after the conversation we just had about Malik Tillman, I think the player I'm most worried about right now is Gio Reyna, because I still believe that he is the best 10 we have in our system. I have no evidence to suggest that that's true.
I haven't seen him play in 3 years.
I know, my guy hasn't. Since you and I spoke to him at Dortmund, which again, is it our fault? You know? But part of me still sees that guy that at Nations League, you know, lit it up. And part of me wondered, you know, Balogun is doing pretty well. And, you know, things are kind of going in the right direction for Balogun post-injury. And I'm like, all right, right? He is back.
I believe he's back.
I'm 90% sure.
Did the Ligue 1 season start yet?
They're having their
like cup. Yeah. So I don't know if he's played yet.
I'm pretty sure he has. Anyway, long story short, maybe we'll cut that out if he hasn't. But whatchamacallit? Balogun, to me, like, the best we saw him, people say, like, it was under BJ Callahan. Most importantly, it was in front of a Gio Reyna that was free to be Gio Reyna.
Sure.
And Gio Reyna, to me, offers something that, as much as I think Malik Tillman right now is the starter, because not only is he playing, but he looks good in a men's national team shirt, Gio Reyna at his best still offers you something I haven't seen from a Malik Tillman.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm like, part of me really wants this to kind of work out because I want there to be that. I don't care if you're whatever they say about him. He's bad in the locker room or he has an attitude. I don't, whatever it is, the thing, the rub against him, I don't care. If unless you're not a, like a horrific human being or you're hurting people or whatever, as long as you're not doing that. If all you are is a guy with a bad attitude or maybe you think highly of more highly of yourself than others, mm-hmm. so be it. Dude, wear sunglasses on the pitch. I don't give a damn. Edgar Davids could. You know what I mean? I don't care. Get out there and do your thing and do it for the men's national team. He is a spark of brilliance. There's excellence when he's on the ball. And I haven't seen that from anyone
else. Yeah, so as far as his status, it looks like he's going to Serie A.
Palermo.
Parma.
Parma, sorry.
Parma are, from all the reports I've seen, is that they really want him and they're aggressively trying to get him to go there. Is it the right move? I mean, if he's going to play, yes. So that's a, it'll be a step up from not doing anything at Dortmund for the last 2 years.
Right.
Or Nottingham Forest. So, all right. The also, just a quick announcement. We have some Yahoo Sports news to announce because Yahoo Sports will be launched a fast channel. So you can now watch Cooligans. You can watch a bunch of other shows on the Yahoo Sports.
The thing we're
network.
Reading says name of show, but yes, our show is Cooligans.
Should I read that?
Yeah, you can watch Cooligans on Yahoo Sports Network, our first ever streaming TV channel, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's also streaming live 24/7 on yahoosports.tv, where you can catch all the shows on your phone or your browser. So, sometimes you might be scrolling on your TV on some of the apps or whatever streaming services, and you're gonna start seeing us over there.
See your boys,
exactly. So get used to it and stop. Don't send positive letters to the Yahoo CEO about it.
Yeah. Get out a pen and paper.
Okay, I got one right here.
Yeah, he's written all over my shirt.
So all right. So yeah, make sure you check out the new Yahoo Sports Network. All right, we'll be right back. And we're going to be chatting with Jaden Nelson of the Vancouver Whitecaps right after this.
I mean, when we talk about just the superstars that come in, I mean, this is incredible.
Exactly. I think this is going to be one of the paciest interviews we've ever done.
Hilarious.
My man is fast as hell, bro.
He's on a wing. He's making people look foolish. Hopefully not us, because we do that for ourselves. He's got a new teammate. He got an unk.
He got
a German unk to come in. Who's showing him the ways. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Canadian national team and the Vancouver Whitecaps, the one, the only, Jaden Nelson, everybody.
Jaden, what's up, man?
Hey guys, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Absolutely honored, man. Yeah, dude, like obviously you've been in MLS for a couple of years, but I think a lot of people are getting much more aware of you now at the Whitecaps because your play, as soon as the season started, I just felt like Jaden Nelson was like, first game, y'all gonna remember me.
Yeah, I'm putting people on skates.
Because, we're talking about your athletic ability, but that means that's like one of the first things that you see. You are incredibly fast, and you're making a lot of defenders this season look a little nervous when they have to defend against you.
That's the goal, you know. I want to be one of those guys where if you're lining up against me, it's going to be a long day for you. So that's definitely a goal of mine.
I love it.
I got to ask you because when the first thing I knew about you is that you're a Brampton man. And now, you know, because of Toronto, TikTok and all this, a lot more people are now understanding what Mississauga is and what Brampton means and all this. What is, you don't have that crazy accent that we hear on the internet though. You're not super nasally. I haven't heard you say tutus yet.
to be honest, like all those like reels and whatever, it's fake. Like nobody really speaks like that. But like, you know, sometimes you do have a little accent or the slang comes out, but like it depends who I'm talking to, you know. But nobody says like tutus or.
If the business is true, right? Like, that's a classic, bro.
It's a classic way. Yeah.
That shorty put a lot of strain on Toronto.
A lot of people, that's a tough
now
thing.
It's just a comedy.
People had to answer for her, and they're like, we don't even know her.
Who hurt Toronto more, her or Kendrick Lamar?
Hey, man. I'll say her. For me, Jake won the battle, but I'll say
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I like that. I respect that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you know what's funny? On road trips, I would make him listen. You might not even know who they are. What's his name? Casper and K Money. Do you know who those rappers are?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I would make him listen.
I'm super tapped in the rap scene and all.
Yeah, dude. I love Toronto hip hop outside of Drake and all that. So I'm kind of tapped in, like Northside Benji, who's from Brampton, if I'm not mistaken.
Huge.
But he was like, how do you know these obscure Toronto rappers? And yo, Spotify be suggesting some wild stuff to me, bro.
Yeah. Like for me, I grew up Northside Benji grew up around the same area as me. So I grew up listening to him, and I think he's one of the best in the city, to be honest.
Bro, his Fire in the Booth is what put me onto him. He's crazy. Yeah. He's so good. I don't know why he's in Dubai in every video, though. But I'm like, this ain't Brampton.
I know. I know. You've never been in the city.
All right. So obviously it's a big week because obviously the debut of Thomas Mueller was fantastic. I mean, it was a little bit spoiled because the assistant referee is a hater calling offside.
He even looked at the assistant referee like, I know maybe it was, but don't do this to me.
Bro,
just give it to him.
A fantastic moment at BC Place, even though the goal didn't count. But your first impressions of playing with, obviously, a World Cup winner and a legend in Thomas Mueller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. You know, first it starts off with the rumors like, okay, you might be signing Thomas Mueller. And then you actually get to see him, around how he moves and, him coming in and, all the stuff that he's done in football. It's just amazing. You know, we could just take it and, learn off of him. And from the first few sessions, you could tell that, he does everything 100%, and it's been really good so far. But it's unfortunate that he didn't get that goal because it would have been great for the city. It would have been legendary. Like, it gave me flashbacks of when Ibra came to LA and then scored that goal. So it was huge.
Yeah.
But I think back to another Whitecaps legend in Alfonso Davies and he was saying in that podcast when he was talking about Thomas Mueller, he's not the techiest player. He's not the guy you see doing the skills, and you don't see the crazy edits of his highlights. But bro, he's that's who I want to play like. He just can't get the ball off him. He always makes the right decision. In the short amount of time that you've been around him, have you seen that same thing? Have you kind of witnessed?
Yeah, his touch is so crisp. His first touch is the best. But there's players like that where, I don't know if you heard the saying, but it's hard to play simple, and he does it the best. So it's nice to see a different type of footballer, and he fits in our team perfectly. So you can learn a lot off of him.
There's nothing about Thomas Mueller that's you imagine that he has to look like he has to try hard or look like he has to try to impress people. It's just those fundamentals. It's one of those things of you're maybe not trying to get the Thomas Mueller card in EAFC, but when it's real life, it's nice to have a player like this on my team.
You need him. You need him. He's a legend. You could say he's all time best Bayern player. So he's up there for sure.
Let's talk about future legends, and that's you, bro. I mean, also getting an opportunity with the Canadian national team. Obviously, the Canadian national team has been making waves over the last. At this point now, what, 2 years? Two, 3 years? Just major waves. Talk about what maybe you're sort of learning from being with those camps and getting opportunities with the Canadian national team. How has that changed your game?
For me, I started out young, I think 16. I got my debut, scored on my debut as well. And you learn a lot. I seen the program when, we couldn't beat anyone, and now it's we're playing top teams and, we're arguably maybe top two in North America, so it's huge, and the seeing the ranks and the different level that we're striving for every year, it's nice to see. And I think we have the talent in Canada to really push the game in a better place. And I think we're doing that.
Yeah. What about you know, especially for us? I mean, we're in New York, so we pay a lot of attention to the U.S. men's national team. But your head coach is American, obviously, Jesse Marsh.
Yeah.
What's that? One thing I am proud of being American and seeing Jesse Marsh is that he doesn't pretend to be anything that he is not, and he takes a lot of pride in coaching the Canadian national team instilling like some values, and he seems to show a lot of care to the group, to the players. You know, a lot of people were arguing that maybe he should have been the coach of the U.S. as well, but. What has that sort of fit been like in the relationship that you have with Jesse Marsh?
It's been great so far. I think the difference, like when he came in, was that like we were a good team. Like, you know, we're going in the right direction at the time. But when he came in, it was like we need to know that we're a good team. We need to show it, you know. And I think that's what he brings into our group, where it's like, you know, put your chest out and show that, you know, we are one of the best. And yeah, we're Canada, but he makes us feel like we're one of the best teams in the world. And I think that's all you can ask for a coach. And he backs us and everything. And he's been good. And even though he's American, he still, you know, has a care for us and knows what it is to be Canadian in a way. And he doesn't take that for granted. So it's been amazing having him so far.
Now, from a lot of my friends that are from Toronto have told me that, you know, once Vince Carter got to the Raptors, like the whole city felt like it became a basketball city. I felt like Toronto, the most important thing was basketball. The other thing I know about Toronto and Canada is this snow. It's cold, bro. Like, it's cold a lot of time of the year. How the hell did you carve out soccer? Like, what? How did that happen? Where did you train, dog? There's snow everywhere.
For me... Well, we have like a lot of like we call it domes, indoor fields, and like where I'm from, we had like this thing called Spanish League, so I played a lot of futsal, like growing up. So when it was cold, we play futsal, you know, we play in the domes and things like that. But you know, when it's hot, it's hot, it's super hot, so we're outside all the time. But yeah, everyone says like Canada's a hockey country, but. I never played hockey in my life, so.
And you didn't. You never wanted to play basketball.
To be fair, well, I played basketball in like school growing up because they said I was too good to play, you know, with the kids at recess or whatever. So I played basketball. Yeah, I was pretty good, but you know, I was too short. So
that's hilarious. That. Like, yo, you too good at soccer. Yo, go play something else.
It's true. It's real life. I'm telling you.
Well, it's funny. My family's from Dominican Republic, and I've played hockey. Yeah. I used to play hockey a little bit, not to any real level, but like very recreationally. So, it just feels weird to see a Canadian and say like never play hockey. Like you must have been encouraged at some point.
Never. Like I know how to skate or whatever, but I never had a stick in my hand or played like street hockey or whatever. Never.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And then so even making the move from Toronto to Vancouver. I mean, I've been to Toronto. I've never been to Vancouver, but what are the difference in cultures? I know, but I mean, these it's like. In my mind, as like being from Brooklyn, I'm like, is that the East Coast, West Coast beef in Canada? Toronto, Vancouver?
Nah, I say it's more Toronto, Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Vancouver's like their own thing.
Vancouver's like, you know, like a nice place. Like it's very rich, right? Like it's expensive.
Yeah, but Vancouver's even too far to beef with like Toronto and Montreal. You know what I mean? So
what do you got between y'all? Alberta? Like, Manitoba?
Yeah, exactly. That's their off.
By the time you cross Manitoba, you're like, I ain't even that mad anymore.
Yeah, then exactly.
Maybe I'll go skiing.
I'm telling you, like when we flew to like Toronto, it's like 4.5 hours, like It's too long.
Yeah. You know. Is it difficult being that far away from family, or are you liking the distance? You know, obviously this is the furthest. Yeah. No, you played in what country?
In Norway and Germany.
In Norway and Germany. Yeah. Okay, so I guess you're relatively closer, so it must not be as bad as being in Europe, obviously.
Yeah, I'm still within Canada, but you know, it's like I'm coming from Europe anyways. But all right. it's good. It's good because I can still travel there. I still play away games there, so it's nice.
All
right. It's awesome. And obviously, right, new coach.
Yeah.
Things are looking really good for Vancouver. I feel like for the last three seasons, we've been talking about Vancouver, like on the come up, on the come up. This year feels like you guys have kind of found your place a little bit. Adding Thomas Mueller certainly helps. We had this conversation. Does this put Vancouver Whitecaps over the top? What would your thoughts to be that? Where this season, do you think you guys have what it take to take on some of the biggest names in this league?
We have already, you know, in the league. What I think for us, we started off well, and I think right now we're going through a little bit of a hump, which is normal, you know, but it's difficult when you have international breaks and you have to play games within those international breaks as well. But I think, we're also still recruiting players and we're looking good, you know, and we're making that push for playoffs, and I think we could go far. But we have to see how everything gels together and when we do get all the new players and whatnot and how everything looks. But for me, we're looking dangerous. So
yeah,
everyone should be excited for that.
The Western Conference is incredibly competitive. And this is why when you even talking about the rumors of Thomas Mueller going to Vancouver, it all look as a, you know, an MLS fan, you're like, Thomas Mueller, Vancouver, there's no way he's going to go there, right? Because we have a little bit of a bias of like, Vancouver is not necessarily the team that has
Superstars pick LA.
Right. You know. They can kind of go wherever they want, and you necessarily Vancouver wouldn't be the first name, and Vancouver also wouldn't be the team that you necessarily think would spend big money to really sign players. This is like credit. Mm. I don't know who the GM is at Vancouver right now, but as far as a constructed roster and just players that are incredibly impactful, that this Vancouver this season has had like 4 to 6 guys where you're like, wait, who is this? Where did he come from? And that part of it is exciting, of like finding ways to succeed in MLS, constructing rosters that may not be the way other teams do it with you know, big names or whatever. So as far as playing on this team, I mean, this has to be one of the most fun teams that you've played on, as far as like your trust and reliability in your own teammates.
100%, you know, and it didn't even start from the field. It starts from off the field. You know, like when I got here, it was just so easy to, you know, to get to know everyone. And it's like a real, like, we're all brothers. We all hang out. Like, you don't really get those in all teams, you know, and yeah, we're all able to talk to each other. So it results on the pitch, you know, so. And everyone in the building is a good person, you know, so that's one of the best things. But yeah, it's shout out to the scouting team here. You know, if you look at a guy like Pedro Vite, he came out of nowhere and, you know, he's a skyrocket and he's a huge talent, you know, and there's a lot of guys that are here like that just need some time. And they're one of those players. Like, if you look at JC on Whitecaps as well, like, I never knew who he was before I came, but when I played with him, I was like, yeah, this guy's a baller, you know? So yeah, there's like hidden gems here for sure.
Yeah. This is, Sabi as well, right?
Sabi's incredible.
Just another one where you're just like, okay, where have you been hiding?
Yeah.
So that part of it is exciting for sure.
Yeah, for sure. What is the coach telling you? Like, what is it that you are being told? Like, cause there's multiple highlights of you this year. You're clearly shining. Are they saying like, yo, get him? Like, you know what I mean? You got it. Go get him. Like, what is it?
What's Jasper saying to you, bro?
What's Jasper whispering in your ear right before you go? If he said, get him, then I got him.
They can't guard you.
He said, yo, free Tory Lanez.
Go out. That comes in with
Jasper, I didn't know you were locked in like that.
Jasper?
Nah, man. He's been a good coach so far with all of us, you know, but for me, it's just like, he just gives you that confidence, and that's one of the things you want from your coach, to know that, okay, especially as an attacking player, to have that confidence to, or that goal, that green light to know to go at your player every single time, whether if you lose a ball or not, but if you have the right intentions and principles, then he's he's good, okay with that, you know. So it's been good so far, and yeah, I'm happy. Yeah.
The game over the weekend against Houston, who was marking you? Why am I forgetting his name?
Probably because he's still picking himself
Griffin
up.
Dorsey.
what's his name again? I forgot.
Griffin Dorsey.
He's a great player at Houston. But this, for whatever reason, this game in particular, I was just like, yo, Jaden's like, give me the rock. I'm going at him.
Especially when you get close to the touchline. I'm like, does he know he's about to be on our show? So
it was like a fun battle where you like, I felt like both, he was winning some, you were winning some. Yeah. I know you had two chances. You hit the post. Really, really frustrating. But those games like that, I remember we had Fafa Pico, who's a friend of the show, formerly of Vancouver Whitecaps. And he was talking about being a winger and especially whatever in the chatter in the beginning, like that first touch, that first 1v1, that you're like, oh, I'm about to show you. I'll talk smack to the coach and be like, your fullback, he's not going to be able to hold me today, whatever. But that, when I was watching that game, that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, yo, Jaden must be, he either just got the green light and has said like, yo, I'm going at you. And I'm gonna challenge you and let you know, I'm gonna find out if you're really ready for this game. But how is that every game? Is that a strategy thing for a particular team? It was exciting to see. I loved that confidence from you.
Yeah, for me, I grew up watching football. That, you know, I watched Ronaldinho, I watched Robinho. You know, guys that got you up out of your seat.
Right.
You know, and that's the type of player I want to be as well, you know. So for me, it's every game. It doesn't matter who it is, every single game I'm going to run at you. It doesn't matter, you know, that's just me. So, and I get the green light to do that, you know. And if I run out a guy 20 times and 19 doesn't work, but that one time, it's a goal or assist, you know. So even for the young guys, I try to tell them, like, make mistakes, just keep going, you know, don't get frustrated, but just keep going because something's going to happen. So, yeah, that's my mentality.
It's good to have a coach that trusts you to be brave, you know, to go out there. We talked about that in the earlier segment.
I would love it, like, for the young guys. You're 22, bro.
Yeah.
You're young. Who was it? There's not Would much
you,
younger.
Are you looking in the mirror when you're saying this?
that was great.
I was going to ask, like, what parts about you, because obviously we know you're Canadian national team. Your background is Jamaican, if I'm not mistaken. What part of your game is Jamaican? Like, when does the
well, you know that.
Do you
know
suck
that.
Your teeth? Do you kiss your teeth when you pass a player?
Yeah. After if I make a mistake, I'm crazy. Like, sort of those.
You give them the hands. You pull a beef patty out. Like, what part of your game do you think is influenced by the Jamaican?
That's pregame ritual. But I'll say I don't know, the speed. And, like, just my flair a bit, you know, like, I think Jamaicans have their own style in a way. So I think that's what I get from my Jamaican culture.
You got a lot of uncles who told you they could have been on Manchester United if it wasn't for that knee injury.
Yeah, but you know, the knee or ankle.
Jamaican house party I went to, I said, I'm an Arsenal fan. They're like, you know, I could have been Thierry Henry if it wasn't for my back. I hurt my back. Yeah.
telling you, man, everyone could have been a Premier League legend.
Yeah.
what is it like as far as back home and with the family? I mean, obviously, to have a professional footballer in the family and it actually happened, you don't have to complain about if my knee this or if my back that. I mean, it must be a huge point of pride for your family to see everything that you're doing now, right?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, a lot of sacrifices, you know, especially with my mom, you know, and everyone in my family that helped me to get to training and the little things, you know, coming up in my career, you know. So it's nice to see that, you know, I'm able to, you know, get somewhere with it and still going. So yeah, it's a huge prideful thing.
Okay.
And we talked a little bit about you leaving Toronto and obviously your friends and family there. So other than that, being all the way in Vancouver, the 4-hour flight that I know it is, what's something you miss? What do you miss the most about Toronto? And again, not friends and family, because we don't care about that.
The food, man. The food.
You can't get Jamaican food in
Nah, Vancouver? there's no Jamaica food out here, man.
They don't make their
What's your order? Nah. You go oxtail, curry goat.
No. So it's rice and peas, jerk chicken, oxtail gravy on the rice, and then coleslaw, and then beef patty on the side. Later.
So you go oxtail gravy on the rice, but no oxtail.
No.
That's wild. Why not enjoy the oxtail?
Nah. Well, oxtail's expensive, man.
That's a good point. Yo, get Thomas Mullen and buy the oxtail, bro. Yo, that's why he here now.
Thomas being like, we'll get Thomas to buy me some oxtail. Patty's an oxtail. A little jerk. That'd be great. That's hilarious. Yeah, man, it's great to see where your career is going and where it's gone. But yeah, like I think for us this year has been. Mike, it is a breakout year, and you can see that decisiveness and that certainty that you're playing with on the pitch. Mm-hmm. That's just awesome to see. So even though we always say like the Canadian teams are sometimes a little bit like out of the fold within a lot of MLS shows and a lot of MLS chatter. So
not here, not on Cooligans.
Not here. So
what other interview you've been to that brought up Casper and K Money? None.
None.
Thank you, bro. None.
All right. So let everybody know. Let Thomas Mueller know what the show is about. If
you want. Tell him free. Tell Thomas Mueller, come outside. Come outside.
Yeah, tell him, come outside.
Jaden Nelson, absolute honor, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to plug or let anybody know where they can follow you or anything that you want to mention?
On social media, Jaden Nelson, on Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. Okay.
Yo, we rooting for you on the Canadian national team, except for when you play the U.S. and Cuba. You scored against my nationality, bro. Yeah, no.
My girlfriend is Cuban.
Look at that.
Hey. Yo.
Cubano, yeah.
R.I.P. your arguments.
I know. But that was one of the reasons why I had to, bust that.
Yeah. A little something for the dad and the uncle. That's right.
You take that frustration out on Griffin Dorsey, bro. I get it, dog. Jaden Nelson, absolute honor. Best of luck for the rest of the season. I know, we'll see you guys in the playoffs, and hopefully you guys got a great spot there as well. But I'm excited to see what Vancouver is going to do this postseason. So best of luck, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, cheers. Shout out to Jaden Nelson, the new homie. Okay.
Come on.
So we appreciate it. Shout out to him. Shout out to Vancouver Whitecaps for making that happen. All right. Let's get to Rapido Reactions. A bunch of stories. We have 90 seconds to react to a bunch of stories that our producer Carter will be tossing our way. So, Carter, go for it.
All right. The first one here. Alexander Isak is still at a stalemate with Newcastle. He's still holding out for a move to Liverpool. What should Newcastle do with the season already underway and the transfer market closing in about 10 days?
I think you go like Bronx Tale. Lock the door and I use Cantley.
It's becoming more dramatic than I expected. Yeah. I felt like this should be sorted out in a while. It all sort of seems like Newcastle would have made the sale. They have received an offer for Alexander Isak, but they haven't been able to secure a replacement striker. Right. So they're like, oh no, we can't sell him until, but now they're in a terrible spot. Cause then Isak puts out an IG story and a whole statement saying, I was promised this, I was promised that. And people are speaking bad on my name and how they, all. And now they've come back being like, now you can't leave, right? Yeah. Now you have to stay because they're so insulted that he went public with this stuff. I don't know how this ends. What do you think?
First of all, I don't think Liverpool even needs him. Let me start there.
I agree.
I'm like, this is ridiculous that you're, I mean, that this is happening. I think Isak, I can understand why Isak wants to leave if he was, this idea of like the gentleman's agreement apparently just means nothing in England. Because this is like the eighth player we've seen in the last few years that said this. But apparently if you had an agreement that you were able to leave if you got a sufficient offer, and they have gotten a sufficient offer, and maybe it's a big pay bump, which is crazy because you think of Liverpool, You think I'm starting Newcastle as the team with all this money, man? You got that PIF money, bro. Like, why are you acting so poor in Liverpool? If you got all this guap, bro, spend it. So for me, I'm like, this is so confusing. Wisa doesn't even seem like the right move as like a replacement for Alexander Isak. It's just crazy to me, the whole thing. I think Isak's just going to spend a year not playing like Osimhen.
Oh, that would be brutal. All right, next up.
All right, much to my dismay, Eberechi Eze is closing in on a move to Arsenal, according to David Ornstein.
Dude, like 15 minutes ago, he was like, Tottenham certain.
Yeah, so
he said yes to one girl for prom and then showed up with another.
What is your guys' take? Does this help Arsenal challenge for the league title?
You remember that Havertz has gone down with a knee injury, so this is huge.
Yeah, so
I believe it's a knee.
Yeah, I thought it was hamstring.
Maybe it's hamstring.
Yeah, so as soon as I saw the injury, I'm like, here we go again with Arsenal. But Eze is just such he's such a fun player to watch. I think he'd be just such a great fit at Arsenal. I thought he'd be a great fit at Tottenham.
We were complaining. I was complaining. What do you mean? I was complaining. I'm like, this happens a lot to Arsenal where like Manchester United, kids grow up Manchester United fans. They somehow end up on Manchester United. Right. Benjamin Sesko is a good example. Grew up a Manchester United fan. He's there. Arsenal, there's so many people that grew up Arsenal fans that end up playing for other teams, including Tottenham. Darren Bent, there's a couple others. I'm like, it's so frustrating. Tim Sherwood, their manager, had an Arsenal tattoo. I'm like, they're so frustrating that Arsenal can't find a way to bring in the players that grew up idolizing their team. And as I say that, our Tottenham Hotspur fan manager turns around and says, David Ornstein just announced that it's pretty much that it's happening, that Eze is looking like they're getting an offer from. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. You would imagine he's pretty excited about that they're going in for him. I think it'd be great. And I mean, my perspective, I think he's better than Zubimendi. I think he'd be a better player there.
I think Zubimendi stays. Zubimendi's incredible. I think you find a way to, Eberechi Eze maybe comes in for Martinelli.
You put on the wing?
Yeah, well, at least tuck in. Or maybe because who else are you going
to
take out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, to me, he's a midfielder. Wing seems a little bit of a like. I mean, Martinelli's not great, but I don't think that's the right replacement. But I understand. Okay, all right, we'll see.
We'll find a way to make it work.
Another move to a London club. Alejandro Garnacho is looking to close in on a move to Chelsea. Does he help their winger issues?
If I'm not mistaken, it's 40 million. Feels like a lot.
Yeah, but you know, he's played at Manchester United. Like I think he's worth it. I find it just so odd, like just his experience at Manchester United. It's just like maybe there's just like a level of maturity that he has not reached that Amorim is just like, I'm not even gonna bother with you, because he like legit, it feels like he like hates him. He's like, I don't like you, and I don't want you around.
I don't even want you talking to the other players. Okay. Yo, he's like rotten apple.
So Rashford was all he had done. The podcast with Michael Richards and Lineker, and I think he was pretty
he's at
political
Barca now.
About it.
You don't need to hold on to that anger.
Exactly. So, but Garnacho, I feel like he's holding on to the anger.
Yeah, Garnacho's like, I'll talk. Who wants to know?
I think this is a good move for him, just for him to go to an environment where he is like somewhat appreciated. I think that will help him. But clearly, he needs to probably also do something on his end.
Him and Cole Palmer. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be fun. And Chelsea, I mean, they got sort of they drew their game, their first game. But they won the Club World Cup. They're a strong team. So adding Garnacho to it is not gonna hurt them in any way. I mean, it's only gonna improve. Okay, next up,
good deal for United.
What do we got?
All right, Caden Clark is going to head to DC United. Thoughts?
I haven't heard that name in 84 years.
He died 10 years ago.
Caden Clark, a name that
was going to Europe.
A lot of promise. RB Leipzig, right? Yeah. He was already had an agreement, and then they just loaned him just to get him ready to go over there. Did he ever go? I think he did, and it didn't go well.
I couldn't tell you if he went.
But
at the very least, I would assume he would have gone to Salzburg.
Sure. He bounced around. He went to Minnesota for a little bit.
Ended up in Montreal, which is punishment for a lot of players in MLS.
it's like the prisoner, like the prison, the prison of MLS.
It's purgatory. It's MLS purgatory. But
going to DC United, DC United need lots of help. They just are really, really poor. The last two years, I think they missed the playoff by 1 point or something last season. And they have not looked great.
They're wasting the Benteke, bro.
Yeah. So they had to do something. I don't know if he's gonna. I don't think it's gonna turn their season around. But Caden Clark is just a player that you sort of like. it's wild to go from that the hype and everybody's sort of on board and everybody's excited about even as a USMNT prospect, and then it just kind of falls apart so quickly. He never, he never even really got to. He hasn't peaked by any means.
Yeah, but we didn't even see why he didn't go. Like, yeah, get the move. Like, show me him playing badly, and then I'll understand it.
Exactly. All right. What's
All right. Last one. James Tarkowski was given a handball. I know. I'm sure you guys have seen it. We'll add it in post. But what are your thoughts?
All right.
Handball
Christian.
Or no?
Go ahead, Christian. You got 90 seconds, Christian.
This
go for it.
Is one of the most egregious calls in refereeing history.
I'm gonna say I disagree with you.
This is such a poor decision that, and I'm like looking at, I'm like, where's Christina Uncle? Where's David Gerson?
Are you
refs need love too? I'm like, yo, somebody talk about this. What's your take? It's one of those. You know how some people are like, I'm not political. I don't want to talk about politics. And then you're like, no. This is a divide. This is a very important issue. I need to know if I could be friends with you.
Yeah.
This penalty is making me that kind of person. What did you think? Was that a penalty or not? And based on your answer, we'll determine if I can continue up my relationship with you.
Oops, because I don't think it was a penalty.
You don't think it was a penalty?
I don't think.
Okay.
I do think it was. I think it was a handball.
Podcast over. No, yeah. Alexis. It was not.
Well, okay. He was moving his arm in a natural position, putting it behind him, but then he sticks that elbow out a little bit.
Got it? No. He and moves his body.
Nah.
He moves his body towards the ball.
And while his arm is out. He's chicken winging.
No.
He's chicken winging, bro.
No chicken winging.
Pause the 90-second clock, and can you pull up the photo?
His arm is intentionally
behind. He's chicken winging. Nah, bro. Arm is behind, but he's chicken winging that elbow out, dog.
Nah, bro. Nah, just a terrible call. Most of the refs.
If you could pull it up, it'd be cool. But yeah.
Most of the refs that I've seen talk about it have said that they thought it was an extremely harsh call and that they wouldn't have called it a penalty.
Hold on. I'm not saying it wasn't harsh. I'm not saying, okay, go to the, okay, that's a good one. Where's his arm? I mean, it might be a little easier on the first one. He's chicken winging a little bit, bro. The elbow's a little bent. That's all I'm saying.
Bent, not out.
No, it's out, dog. He turned.
Arm.
I look. If this was Arsenal, I'd be in the same position you're at.
He's
chicken winging a little bit.
This sets a terrible precedent,
Carter,
bro.
Chicken winging or no?
I wouldn't give it as a penalty.
I didn't ask that. Chicken winging or no?
He's trying to stop the ball.
Thank you. Yeah. He's chicken winging a little bit.
He threw his body at the ball, and his arm happened to be attached to his body.
Nah, it was behind, but he did this joint.
How you're unfortunate. Like, what an inconvenience.
Yo, my guy went like this a little bit. He's chicken winging.
Deduct 10 arms from Everton.
Give us your arms.
Ridiculous, man. So upsetting, that call. All right, another Hanapilo reactions in the book. Thank you so much, Carter. I put out a notice out to everybody listening to this. First question, was that a handball or not? And that will determine whether we continue having a conversation.
I'm
all right?
Really sorry that was a handball.
Because that is was crazy. All right, let's wrap it up there. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Shout out to Jaden Nelson of the Vancouver Whitecaps for coming through as well. We appreciate it.
Shout out to the gift I got you.
Cool. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to look good in these shorts, dog.
You know what? Try to put them on, dude. Let's get these ratings up. You know,
you know how when they, they ask like, who was it? It was the last FIFA president when he wanted the women to wear shorter shorts.
Hot shorts.
I mean, if our podcast would do a little bit better, hey.
You think I won't come out here in a Speedo? If that's what y'all want to see.
Anyway, make sure you follow us.
Put in the comments if you want to see us in Speedo.
All right, cool. I don't know if YouTube's gonna bang you or whatever, but
I mean, they'd be like, I'm not sure what I'm saying here.
So make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all the social channels. Follow us on Blue Sky. A lot of action happening over there. Hit like on YouTube if you're watching this, and make sure you subscribe as well. All right, we'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. And people are probably already aware, but we recorded this before the League's Cup matches this Wednesday. So just keep in mind, we're going to be talking about the League's Cup whatever happens in those results. We'll talk about it on Monday. So don't be sad that we didn't.
No, we'll get to it.
I'll talk about that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. As always, I hope all your teams lose. But have a good weekend. Peace.
Love you guys.